PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the Original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week from Golf Breaks is Mr. Chris Bowles and Kearney Lane. Gentlemen, it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Dan. Nice to meet you. Nice to be on the pod.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, so the greatest part of this, the fact that you guys are fairly international at this point, is introductions via accent, I suppose, the best way to pronounce how things went down with you joining early, Chris. I'll let you jump in and give people an idea where you're coming from, what your golf story is a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So grew up in the southeast of England, just outside London, actually very close to where our UK office is, which is in Windsor, obviously famous for the royal family and the big castle. That's where the Golf Breaks HQ is located. Went up to college in Scotland, did a golf management degree, quite obscure, but kind of wanted to get involved in golf, always had a passion for the game. Kind of went back down to the southeast, was looking around, found Golf Breaks, and 16 years later, here I am, kind of working with the US business, sending Americans across to the to Europe and the UK and Ireland.
That's great. And Kearney, how about yourself?
Yeah. So actually from born and raised in California, and then went and played basketball in college. So wanted to get in the sports world after college, found my way to Golf Breaks in Charleston, which is where our US office is based and located. So that's where I'm based now. Been working at Golf Breaks for coming up on 4 years. So obviously not as long as Chris's tenure, but yeah, been doing it for a while now.
Are you guys both avid golfers at this point? Has it been a story for you throughout your life, or is it fairly new?
For me, it's been, yes. I mean, I'm approaching the big 40 next year. So for me, it's been at least 20, 25 years of playing, not playing particularly well, kind of cling on to a 9-10 handicap. But I used to be one of those angry golfers on the course, but now it's just all about the enjoyment. Obviously with our job, we get to travel around. We're privileged that we can play some really great courses. So for me, it's just for the love of the game now, and just being out with friends, family, colleagues, whatever it may be, and just having a good time.
Cool.
Yeah. And I've been golfing since I was a little kid. We live near a golf course, so I would kind of find my way over the driving range when I was very young and started playing very young. So yeah, love playing, addicted to it. Wish I was a lot better than what I am. I'm around 10 or so handicap, which my friends say I'm working for a golf company, you should be a scratch golfer. So that's the goal, but not there. But like Chris mentioned, been fortunate enough to play a lot of really, really top-notch courses through Golf Breaks, and seeing courses, so being able to obviously experience it and be able to then put people on those types of trips. So but yeah, obviously addicted to golf and want to play more, of course.
Kearney's definitely the golf nerd of the company, like of the business. He's the golf nerd.
What do you mean by that?
He's the guy that's just like all about playing. He's just the golf guy. He's the golf guy. He lists off his best golf courses.
I'm addicted to golf courses all the time. I have a running list in my notes app of people's top 10 favorite golf courses. So I have like 40 people's names, and they all just say where their top 10 is. And that top 10 is completely subjective to what you think. But yeah, I have like a running list. I look at it all the time, and I just like, if I've never heard of a course, I'll like put in the location and say, hey, where is that at? Just so if I've ever been in the area, I can say, hey, I want to go play that golf course that person mentioned to me like 2 or 3 years ago. So yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. I have tons of questions about the company itself, but I'll ask this question right now, just since we're already chatting about other things. When it comes to courses that you love, is it a conversation about layout, presentation, location, or even something as simple as your favorite designer? What about it gets you, Kearney?
Yeah, I would say I'm a big layout guy. I appreciate obviously good conditions, obviously as anyone does, but I think that a lot of places have solid conditions, so then it's like, all right, what do we do next? I would say layouts where it kind of scratches my back. There's some amazing golf courses out there that have unbelievable layouts, and there's some courses that are kind of more just straight back and forth. So yeah, I would say that's where it kind of gets me. Favorite designers, by far and away Donald Ross. Grew up playing a Donald Ross course. Whenever I hear about a Donald Ross course in the area that I'm in, I'm always like, I want to go play that. He has obviously a lot of different features to his designs, but obviously we've played a lot of like Pete Dye courses and whatnot. And so there's obviously a lot of great designers, but yeah, that's what I would say.
Mm, yeah. Pete Dye is a little bit more mean, isn't he?
Yeah. 100%.
How about you, Chris? Is there a certain profile or designer or style that you prefer?
Kind of similar to Kearney. I mean, I would say I have a soft spot for Lynx Golf. I mean, I spent my kind of latter teenage years I spent the best part of 5-6 years living in Scotland. Was fortunate to play a lot of Lynx Golf up there. And with the job, traveling to places like Ireland as well, just that always has a soft spot in my heart. And I think as well as the layout, it's the location of a course, like the backdrop. What's there? Is it the ocean? Is it the mountain scenery? I mean, that kind of thing. Like for me, as much as I love Lynx Golf, some of the golf around Vegas, like the Paute course, for example, just outside Vegas, was one of the best I've played, because you have kind of the desert style with the mountain backdrop, and that was just stunning. So yeah, a lot of it for me kind of boils down to the scenery, the location, setting, and yeah, layout for sure.
Well, let's dig into, like, we could go on to that for quite a while, but I'd love to dig into Golf Breaks as a whole, and hopefully you can help me understand sort of the origins of where it came from and why there's such a need for something like that in the industry.
I can kickstart that. So the company began back in the late 90s. Four guys from university that were friends decided to set up a business. So you have the kind of chairman CEO, which is a guy called Andrew Stanley, a British guy. They're all British people that set up the business. So you had Andrew Stanley, Steve Hemsworth, Daniel Grave, and Guy Prodo. Daniel Grave is the man that kind of set up the operation in the US. He moved out there in 2013. So we had built a model in the UK, which was British golfers doing trips across the world, really, anywhere from sort of your domestic UK trips through to traveling halfway around the world to Thailand. We kind of did it all. We were a very established business. We've been, as I said, running since the late 90s. So there's a very prominent brand in the UK. And it was all about trying to firstly replicate that model in the US and then take it further, because obviously the golf market in the US is so much bigger than the UK. I think the UK has about 250,000 kind of active golfers that do trips regularly, whereas in America, I'd imagine that's somewhere in the millions. I don't have the exact data, but it's got to be a lot higher. So it was tapping into that, the huge potential of the market. Our CEO, Daniel Grave, is married to an American lady. So it was perfectly set up for him to come over here, sort of set up his family here and kind of set up the business. He chose South Carolina. Obviously, location's great. We're near some very big golf destinations for what we offer, with the likes of Hilton Head and Myrtle Beach and that kind of thing. Kier Island's on the doorstep. So it was all about starting with that and then sort of building out the US brand and the name and getting it out there. And then we felt that like there wasn't really many people in the marketplace. There's a few operators, but they're kind of smaller operations. But this was taking kind of everything we've laid, all the foundations we'd laid in the UK, and bringing them across to the US, and kind of expanding out to offer those kind of bucket list trips as well as your domestic trips with the buddies, and doing that kind of thing. The US office opened in 2016. So it's been coming up on 10 years now that we've been operating stateside. It's going from strength to strength.
So what is it like exploring new opportunity? I mean, you have plenty of things to pull from when you go into your website and you look up any specific typical destination location, but you know, expansion, things like that. How does that get measured? How do you recognize like this is a place that we need to have presence, and this is the kind of golf course and hotel that we need to connect to?
Yeah, so I would kind of say for that question, it really we have obviously a lot established. Our website is amazing. There's pictures and descriptions of every single package. There's obviously things on the website that we offer that aren't even on the website. So there's a lot of options. In terms of expansion, we obviously highlight destinations. So like Chris mentioned, those types of cities, those are golf destinations where, you know, people mostly take a 3-4 even week long trip, play 2-3-5 rounds of golf. So having a place that has multiple courses, diversity, and that is easy to get to is pretty much our forte. So in terms of expansion, like the most recent one that I can think of that's been so successful is St. George, Utah. You know, 5 years ago, obviously there was golf there, and it's really, really high level golf, but it's turned into one of the most popular golf destinations in the country in the last 2 years, in my opinion. And that has a lot to do with the PGA Tour hosting an event out there in October. They're doing it again this year, I believe, for the third year, and they have future years already booked. But that has become one of our biggest destinations alongside Scottsdale, Orlando, Myrtle Beach. So in terms of expansion, like, if there's a need, which people always call in and ask, hey, you know, can I get these packages? And then, you know, do you have something for St. George? And, you know, we got a couple of those in 2023. And I started saying, hey, maybe we should look into this. And so we have product managers who obviously build these relationships, build these contracts and partnerships with all these venues. And, you know, they start the conversation and see what we can kind of do. And then obviously this whole goal is for us, and Chris kind of touched on it, but our goal is someone obviously inquires with us. We obviously see what their wants and needs are, get the parameters of the trip, and then provide options based off the contracted rates that we have with each of these golf courses and venues. And so that's pretty much where we had, hey, you know, people want to go to Orlando, Myrtle Beach. And then someone says, hey, can you also send me a St. George option? So having those options put together, and then they can obviously throw that to the group, see what they think is what's interesting, and then make some decisions. And then obviously we book all the elements for you, the tee times, the lodging. So really all they have to do is just show up and have a great time.
Okay. So that's sort of been my preset to travel golf is I'm not the planner. Tell me how much I'm paying and where, when and where I need to be. That's always been my preference. But there's a lot of people who are like that. So what is it like when someone contacts you guys and just says, hey, I'm overwhelmed. I got a group of buddies who are sick of playing the same course every week. We'd really like to go to somewhere fun to play golf. How do you manage that for them? What gets you into a certain place for them if they're not clear? Like, I don't care where we go, just give me an idea. How do you tailor make something for an individual golfer who just calls in blank slate?
Go ahead, Gunny.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so that's honestly the majority of our clientele is people calling in saying, hey, you know, we're based in Florida. We play these Florida courses every week, every year. We want to get out of here, do something fun, different. The first question we ask is time frame. That's the most important question. Obviously, when you send it to a group of guys, everyone's got different schedules. So really knocking down a time frame is, I'd say, the first thing that we got to figure out, or maybe a 2-month window. That then tells me, hey, this is where I would recommend going based off of your timeline. So let's pretend someone says, hey, April, May is where I want to go. You know, April, May, in my opinion, whenever someone says that, I would say South Carolina or Scottsdale, mainly because the weather is perfect. It's golf weather. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. Rates are going to be somewhat fair. They're not going to be like the highest they are all year, but they're going to be solid options that are good value, which is a huge part of our job, is providing value to clients that they may not know. You know, we have all the rates in front of us. We can see what this kind of package is going to cost. So saying, hey, if you guys wait, you know, don't go to Scottsdale right after the Waste Management Open, wait a month or two where it gets a little bit warmer, but not uncomfortable. And let's go and have a golf trip that has a lot of value to it. So, you know, those are kind of the things in terms of time frame, budget, and what the groups, you know, what's important to the group. And then obviously give those suggestions based on those parameters.
Interesting. I had another question. I was locked into your answer. I was super focused on that. And then when it comes to that sort of opposite type of person where they're very demanding on what they're looking for, they absolutely want to have a very specific experience. Is it harder for that type of person to get them focused in on a preset structure that you have, or is it fairly easy once you explain to them the opportunity, the courses, the availability?
I think it's easier once you explain and kind of break it down as to, like, this is how we work. This is what we can do. And being I think being realistic and transparent with the client is key. I see that in my job because I'm more of the international trip side of things. So obviously Scotland and Ireland plays a big part of that. And primarily people go in there, they want to play the elite courses. They want to play the best of the best. That's not always realistic with availability, with when they're booking, because some people leave it too late. You've got to book early. You've got to book 12, 18 months in advance if you want to go play the best courses in Scotland, Ireland. So it's just understanding and kind of managing those expectations. Yes, you'll have clients that are absolutely right. I have to do this, this, and this. And occasionally you can't service those people. But on the whole, I like to think that we can adapt. We can be flexible. Clients need to have a little bit of give and take as well. And that's where we can also provide those alternative suggestions that maybe they haven't thought of, or it's maybe routing the itinerary in a slightly different way that they haven't thought about that could give them equally good golf. It's maybe not their very first choice, but once all said and done, they're going to have a magnificent trip anyway. Certainly from an international side, that is how I see it. I don't know if Kearney has anything to add on kind of with the domestic.
Yeah, I would say that's exactly right. Only thing I would add is that like a lot of these people, like you said, they have very fixed wants and needs and they want to go at this time, play these courses and whatnot. That's great. That's very easy for us to build. The great thing about using us is that it's very efficient and very fast and quick paced, and everything's all at one place. So you have a 7-day trip, 5 rounds, you know, that's 12 or that's 6 suppliers, right? That's a hotel and that's 5 courses. So instead of having all these different things you got to juggle, it's all in one place. We handle it for you. We have a streamlined process where we can book this and quote it and everything very quickly so that you say, hey, I want to play these courses these times and it's all available. We can book it within 24 hours, if not sooner, and have it all at one place. Everyone pays in one place. So it's all done. So there's no hassle that the group has to take. So yeah, if they're steadfast on their itinerary, great. Let's get it booked.
Yeah, I think the UK example is a lot easier for me to digest personally because, you know, talk about American courses, I'm fairly familiar with it. But when it comes to the UK, other than, hey, I've seen where they play the majors over there, you don't get a ton of that. Like, I know exactly where things are. I know exactly how far it is to get to each place. So a part of that for me would be a level of confidence that would come with, well, you're suggesting this because you've done this before. I'm confused and excited, but also unsure. So I noticed just looking at a couple of the US-based locations that you have alternative styles of play packages, depending on where you're playing as well. Packages, there are some places that have multiple locations to stay playing the same golf courses. So, you know, I assume it part of that is just having full faith in what you guys are offering because you've done this so many times, you have familiarity with the locations. It adds that layer of confidence that you're going to get a great time. Is that fair?
That's fair. And I think choice is important as well. So for example, someone wanting to go to whether it be Scottsdale or whether it be St. Andrews in Scotland, giving them options as far as even their accommodation is concerned. Do they want to stay in a house or a private villa where they can all be under one roof, or do they want to stay in a high-end hotel? We can offer both and everything in between. So it's that as well, because yes, people might come in with these intentions of doing a certain thing, but then budget may get in the way, or you can recommend something else that they hadn't thought about. Like, hey, that's a really good idea. So yeah, I think choice is super important as well.
I noticed there are specific timelines that are built into the website. Is it something where if you make the call and start to discuss the reservation options, you can either expand it a day, drop it a day? Is there a lot of flexibility in things like that?
Yeah, so our website is great for pictures and descriptions, seeing what an itinerary may look like or may cost, but we're completely customizable. So you guys can go, I've sent people on a trip for, you'd be surprised, people on a trip for 30 days and 20 rounds. I've sent people on a trip for one night, one round. So it's really anything they're looking to do. But like on the website, it's just easier to kind of show, hey, these are what we suggest. 3 or 4 night stays, 3 or 4 rounds, or if you're going overseas, 7 night stays, 5 rounds, or anything, you know, around that. So yeah, completely customizable to Chris's point. You know, it's whatever they're kind of preferring, what they want and are looking for. We can obviously service that and customize the quote to be exactly what they're looking to travel with.
You just said 30 days. Yeah. But what, how do you even get started with something like that?
So that's a great question. So to be honest, a lot of people, I mean, think about it, in January in Canada or in Michigan or Wisconsin, it's freezing cold, below freezing, obviously below zero. So with that, people are like, hey, I want to get out of here. And they're retired or whatnot. So I've sent people to Myrtle Beach, and you go stay in a villa that's oceanfront with 40 courses around that you can go play. And it's, you know, those types of accommodations are really, really affordable, honestly, especially in the wintertime when, you know, Myrtle Beach is still going to be a little bit cold, but not freezing. And people go there and you just have a villa and, you know, have cleaning people come in every week or so. And then you, you know, go out, play the golf courses and hang out. So I actually have a couple clients that do that. 30 is the longest I've done, but I'm sure Chris can tell you, Chris has had multiple that are multiple weeks over, even in like Spain, Portugal. You know, these are beautiful countries that are very warm when a lot of the other parts of the world are very cold. So yeah.
Yeah, that's to Kearney's point as well. That's another thing. Like we're offering golf year round. So we have destinations to cover all the seasons of the year. So whether someone's looking to get away because it's freezing where they live, or they're wanting to go to the UK in summer, we cater for everything because we offer trips across to Mexico and the Dominican Republic, the Caribbean as well. So we're kind of, we try, I mean, we can't service every destination under the sun, but we try and be a one-stop shop. If someone's, looking at different areas, they may be considering a Myrtle Beach trip or a Miami trip versus a trip to the Dominican Republic. Well, great. We can quote all of those things and then they don't need to look anywhere else.
I swear you mentioned something like Thailand and, you know, a lot of different places, but I don't see it on the website. Is that a customized experience? Is that just something that, or am I just not able to find it?
I think I was referencing our UK office and the British market and where they send their golfers. Okay. As far as the US market's concerned, we've kind of started quite conservatively, shall we say, in terms of we've started with the destinations we know that work. So it's the UK and Ireland, Spain, Portugal, obviously our US domestic trips, the Caribbean, which is principally the Dominican Republic, and Jamaica, and then Mexico. So they're kind of our core territories that we offer. We are always looking at other opportunities. We don't stand still, but for the here and now, that's kind of what we're seeing as working. But we're starting to dip our toes into other areas such as South Africa and things, but in Greece, another one as well with the Costa Navarina Resort down in the south. But they're kind of slow burners, but the others are more established markets where we know the US have a lot of interest in going. So we've kind of gone down that path initially.
So when it comes to repeat customers, I think this is a really curious question that I have. And I asked you guys earlier what your preferred style and layout or, you know, favorite designer is. Do you get many that come back and say, hey, I really liked this experience with this style of golf course. Where else can I go to get a similar experience, but not the same place?
Yeah, I would say I get a lot of clients that talk about designers. That's one of the first things. So they say, hey, where can I go play Pete Dye? Because Pete Dye obviously has a lot of very famous courses. It's kind of like the Pete Dye checklist and whatnot. I know Golf Digest has done like a bit back in the day of like, you know, the top Pete Dye courses in the country. So things like that come out and then people are like, I want to go do that. So yeah, no, it's definitely a thing. A lot of honestly repeat clients are more so wanting to go to a new destination. So that's where obviously new product or new venues is definitely something we focus on because, you know, we have people that have booked 10, 11, 12 times. You know, there's only so many golf destinations in the US. So obviously we obviously service people to different countries and whatnot. But yeah, I would say the repeat client, very few of them go back to the same place, to be honest. It's going to be more so, hey, where do you recommend our next trip? Which usually they, you know, before they go on their current trip, let's say they go travel in September, usually right now we're starting to plan 2027 September trip, so that they get the exact tee times they want, the right accommodations, the right, you know, everything that they're looking for. So yeah, it's more of what's the next best spot that I should go, Kearney.
Yeah, it's funny how particular golfers can get, regardless of how nice the conditions are or, you know, how good the weather is. Well, let's be clear. I'm not a big fan of windy golf, but I sure do love links courses. So maybe me and Chris are close to the same perspective here. But, you know, that's where it gets interesting. I've always been really surprised discussing with my friends what really matters to me in a golf course. I grew up playing a links style course, so like my perspective on presentation is the more linksy it gets, the more wispy it gets, the more white the bunkers are, the more impressed I am with it. Whereas there's a lot of guys who grew up playing in the trees, so they want this, you know, sort of parkland or old profile that services pretty different perspectives. Do you get much of that where people say like, hey, we're a mixed bag, we want variety, or do you find it more that people are trying to focus on a certain style, or do they care?
Go ahead, Ken.
I mean, it depends on the area. I wouldn't say people like, I mean, I think they kind of have a pre notion before they go on the ship. So like people say, hey, I want to go to Scottsdale because I've never played like desert style courses, or want to go to Scotland or Ireland because I've never played traditional link style courses. So you do get that where they kind of already know that. And Chris can be different here, but whenever someone calls and says, hey, I want to go to Ireland or Scotland and play these courses, and, you know, I want a mixture, I want to play some like, you know, Adair Manor or the K Club or these types of places, I typically just kind of say, hey, you know, any reason for that? And they go, oh, well, you know, they've hosted Ryder Cups or they've done this or that. And it's like, that's great, but those are American courses.
Okay.
With designers that are, you know, designing American courses. So with that, it's like, you know, do you really want to travel halfway across the world to go play American style courses? Probably not. There are obviously historical places, great venues. Those are great courses. But that's, you kind of get a feel. And this is the part of the discussion of the call, like, hey, you know, what are you guys looking for? What's important to the group? But I typically recommend, hey, let's go play like traditional Scottish links golf courses. Let's go play traditional Irish links golf courses. You're not going to find those in Florida. So that's where I'd recommend that.
So that was a really interesting point, because again, I have a hard time bouncing to the UK side of things because I haven't spent any time there. So, you know, my mind almost always goes to my trips that I've had here in the US. But when someone says like very specifically, hey, I want to go play this golf course in the UK because I've seen it on TV, or, you know, I know about it because of X or Y, is it a huge benefit or huge opportunity for you to say, yeah, we can do that, but let's sandwich in these other 4 to 5 golf courses that are truly unique to the area, so you can get a real experience? Is that like really build up that process for people?
I think so. Yeah, I think that does definitely help. Again, a little bit will be determined by the availability of a particular course, because you'll probably, this won't come as a surprise, but the amount of people that get in touch asking to play the old course, it is the, outside of Augusta National, probably the most famous golf course in the world. So people are always like, yeah, I want to play there. But then it's not always easy to get on the old course. There's limited tee times and stuff like that. But on the flip side, if it's just like, maybe they want to go play Ballybunion in Ireland, it's the number one ranked course in the country, great. Go down there, spend time in the Southwest. It's a fantastic area, very scenic, rugged coastlines. Killarney, stay there. It's a fantastic town, lively, good pubs. Great time in the evening. And then you build in the other courses. You talk about your Watervilles or your Tralees, or maybe a couple of hidden gems if they want to go out to Dingle Links and play somewhere completely under the radar. And then you can build it that. So there's different ways to go about it. You can have different tactics. And usually you'll get a good, and Kearney could probably attest this, you'll notice within a couple of minutes of that first phone call where the client's at, what the kind of, I hate using the word vibe, but what the vibe of the kind of conversation is, and like where this is going, what their kind of needs are. You get a good feel when you've been doing it a while, you get a feel pretty quickly as to kind of what this client's looking for. And then you know what kind of suggestions to throw in. Then that's also, again, going back to kind of one of our USPs, it's that expert knowledge. We kind of know what to recommend at the right time and what we think is going to work for this particular customer that we have on the phone. Sorry if that waffled on a bit there, but that's kind of the way I see it.
No, that's great, because it sounds to me like you're basically having a local pick for you. You know, it's not like, hey, we're a bunch of tourists, let's just go pick a bunch of random courses. You've got someone hyper focused on the area, familiar with all the product, giving you an opportunity to get an experience you didn't know you could have.
Exactly that. And I would say as well, like, as you mentioned, kind of the local knowledge or the expert knowledge, whatever you want to call it, for these international trips to the UK and Ireland, the logistics is a huge part of it. And also sometimes you actually want to kind of bring clients down a peg or two, because they may list off all these courses, but it's like, hey, do you realize that one's 6 hours from here? And then it's on the opposite side of the country for the next one. Like, how about we like split these into, maybe you have to go again another time, but like take these two courses, but then what about these ones as well? And then you kind of, you're guiding the client a little bit. Whereas I'd say maybe on a on a more of a domestic front, it's like, yeah, we want to go to Austin, or we want to go to Scottsdale, or we want to go to Orlando. And then it's okay, that's easy. Then we pick the courses around there. Whereas with these Irish trips and things, you can build up the mileage in a week. You could be on the road for 700-800 miles in total, depending on where you're flying in and out of and that kind of thing. So it does, yeah, pace, logistics is a big part of the overseas trips.
And we were fortunate enough, like Chris and I went a year ago or 13 months ago, yeah. We went to Ireland and went and saw these places. These were my first time seeing most of them. I've been to Dublin before, but Chris has seen them a couple of times. So it really does help that, you know, you have an agent that has been to these places, can tell you firsthand, hey, this is what you can expect. This is the logistics side of things. This is what I experienced. This is what I would recommend. Again, like they don't have to take that suggestion, but at the end of the day, like we've done it, so we can tell you firsthand what that is. You know, you can look up online rankings all you want, which a lot of them are probably pretty good, but there's some places where I would say, hey, if you're really looking for this, or, you know, you don't want, you're a beginner golf, you don't want like the most difficult golf course in the world, then like maybe don't play Carnoustie, right? Even though that's an open venue, that's impossible. And, you know, I have people that go up there and play and all they do is look for their ball the entire time. So it's really, really personal suggestions based off of the parameters they've set.
That's great. Yeah, it seems like a huge benefit to have that. And again, my goal is to get off the what do I know in the US and what do I not know about the UK. And I mean, the reality is I'm on the side of golf where I'm sort of obsessed with everything. I don't have a running list of all my buddies' top tens, but, you know, I'm not that far off, which is great. But yeah, do you guys ever get into a room and talk like how different each sort of geographically speaking, what the clientele is like? Is there a lot of consistency in what people are chasing from that side of things? Like, let's say the group from Canada versus the group from Florida or versus the group from the UK. There are a lot of similarities in what people chase, or is it pretty mixed?
Yeah, I would just say it honestly depends. You know, golf is changing very rapidly. I obviously Chris has worked through COVID. I was here just right after COVID. And you get a lot of different demographics, to be honest with you. You know, we as our marketing team has a lot of different goals and targets a lot of different audiences. You do get the classic, you know, retired group that has gone on trips for 20 plus years. And they'll tell you that. And that's totally fine. That's where they're like, hey, we're just getting tired of doing the same thing, or we're getting tired of planning it. You know, what do you suggest? These are new areas. So you get that. We have gotten, I can just tell you from the time I started, we've gotten a lot more of a younger crowd that has come to the surface, mainly because of YouTube golf. We partner with a lot of different influencers, so they see our stuff there, but we've gotten a younger demographic. So there's different people with different budgets, different wants and needs. So yeah, I don't really know if that answers the question, but yeah, I would just say it really just depends. Sometimes, a lot of the time, it's the first time these groups have gone on a golf trip. So they say, hey, you know, what do you recommend? And it's like, all right, well, for this first one, let's just get our feet wet. Let's take a nice, easy trip that's solid. Solid courses, not moving around a ton, not logistically a nightmare, not going to break the bank, and let's see how this goes for the group. And obviously it goes very well, and then they come back and say, all right, next year let's up it a notch, let's maybe go to a resort where we just play on site, let's maybe spend a little bit more money. You know, they go on that trip, they have a good time, then let's maybe go to the Caribbean, then let's maybe go to the UK, stuff like that. So yeah, it really just kind of grows year after year, just because we've been doing this for a long time. But yeah, I would say the demographic is very mixed. It's not really consistent at all, honestly.
You'd mentioned, Chris, about finding a golf course that flies under the radar a little bit. It's the digital age being what it is, it's incredibly challenging to not find out about a great golf course. Is it something that's more likely to happen in the UK for golfers in the US, or what's the trick there? Or is it even possible to have that kind of style of play anymore?
I think it is. I think you can still have that surprise element. Without sort of generalizing too much, I do feel that often people will be sort of contacting you with a particular one or two golf courses in mind, and then they are really open to the rest, and actually maybe more sort of drawn into a particular region versus a particular golf course. And so it is, I think, actually still quite easy to kind of throw in courses that people haven't heard of. I mean, particularly as an example, like the northwest of Ireland. That for me is probably dominated by hidden gems versus kind of signature top tier courses. Not that the golf is substandard at all. It's for me the best golf you can play in Ireland, but that's just my preference for kind of those quieter, kind of less touristy, less commercialized venues. But you go up there, play the likes of Ballyliffin Golf Club or Donegal Golf Club or Carn, Enniscrone. I mean, they're just amazing places, kind of untouched scenery. You won't see a house in sight. You'll be playing amongst some of the biggest sand dunes in the country in some places like Carn and Enniscrone. And just, yeah, I think you can quote those venues to a client and chances are they probably haven't heard of every single course in that itinerary, or they're going to have to go and do some proper research to kind of corroborate your suggestions. But yeah, more often than not, those that book those trips, they come back and they will say, thank you so much for that suggestion. I would never have thought of it, but that was great.
Oh, wow. And what about you, Kearney?
Remind me of the question.
Yeah, just the challenge of finding hidden gems and being able to present that in an area for someone.
Yeah, I mean, it really helps when we've been there. So like Chris and I went to the Northwest. You know, there's a course called Strandhill that is one of the coolest courses I've seen. It's just like you'd never expect it. It's on this small little town coastline. There is a couple bigger name courses in the area, so people kind of flock to those if they do go up in that region. But yeah, it helps that we've been there to see those kind of hidden gems. Like you said, online, it's saturated. There's a lot of people that, you know, there's people name a course and then that's just what people go with and they say they want to go do that. So it does help that we've kind of seen those. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point of the whole packages. You know, we have these areas that you can, you know, there's one or two names that you may know. And then we have other ones in the area that we have partnerships with that help kind of fill that package. So we're not playing the same golf courses, get a little diversity. But in my opinion, I think what we call in our company, hidden gems, I think those are honestly what make and break itineraries. You can save so much money playing them and you still get a very similar experience, just not playing the one that's hosted an open championship or something like that, but you're playing some courses like Chris named some of those courses in the Northwest. Those are amazing golf courses. If those were, let's just pretend, in Jacksonville, Florida, they would be one of the best golf courses in the state of Florida. And that's a fact. Like these are amazing golf courses that no one really knows about, which is a benefit because they're not overcrowded, they're not overbooked, they're not overpriced. So yeah, a huge benefit is playing those hidden gems that are in those areas that are kind of a little more quirky and all over the country of Ireland and Scotland and whatnot.
You know, one of the things I love about what you guys are doing is it creates faith without having to know the ins and outs of where you're going. I have a terrible habit. In fact, I'm doing it next week where I'm playing three golf courses, one of which I've seen on TV and two of which I've never seen before. And my brother-in-law will be with me and he's watched 100 videos on two of them. And I refuse to watch anything because my issue is I get my mind built up on these things and they never, I'm not saying they never do. They oftentimes can never reach that peak of my expectation if I've gone in assuming. Now, listen, we talk about being 10 handicaps. It might have a little bit to do with how I play it or how windy it is on the day. But, you know, my favorite thing to do is to be surprised by something. I really prefer that because then it sets the tone throughout the day as opposed to the month prior to it. So, you know, one of the things that what we've been talking about today that I'm really excited of the concept of is I'm going to take your suggestion. I'm going to do absolutely no research on it, respectfully. And then I'm going to come back and say, man, you really knocked it out of the water. Or, hey, maybe for the next time, I don't love it when the ball comes back in my face as I hit my driver 150 yards. 200 in the air and 50 back to me, you know. So I assume there are a lot more people like that than there are those who just they know the types of grass, they know how old the superintendent is there, you know. Go to the full depth of info.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, go on, Ken. I was just going to say really quick, kind of funny story off that. You mentioned like obviously how prepared you are for a trip and whatnot and like seeing the courses. And yeah, that's obviously like a huge benefit of using us. One funny thing that obviously I go on quite a bit of golf trips just from working in the golf industry. And my brother is the exact opposite of that, where he actually does so much research on the courses he's about to play on a golf trip. He has a notepad that has 1 to 18 holes, and he has a little note saying, hey, you should go to this area, you should play in this area, you should do this. It's like, on 18, do not hit it in the water. It's like, well, obviously do not hit it in the water. So it's kind of like that, where it's so obvious. But yeah, to your point, like, you can trust us. Like, we can obviously set up these great trips. And obviously we do communicate with you, like, hey, just an overview on this course, an overview on this course. So like, we do give you obviously an idea of what you're about to get yourself into. But yeah, Chris, what are you gonna say?
No, just to that, really. Just to that, but not that insight of your brother, but just to that point of just, yeah. Also, as well, for some of the more, I'd say, lesser known areas, there is that trust element. Particularly more recently, we've offered trips to Spain and Portugal, which for many years was just a destination or destinations that our UK office kind of offered to our UK market. It's been an established region for many years now for the British golfing market, but more recently, we've started offering it out to the US and Canadian market, and it's started pretty solidly, to be honest. It's gone down well, and I think with those destinations, they are completely in the dark. They don't know what they're looking. They are relying completely on you for those recommendations. They may have heard of one golf course in Spain, like Valderrama, and they may have heard of one or two in Portugal, like a Monterrey maybe, or the new one at Comporta, the Junes course. But outside of that, like, they are really just like leaning on you, putting their faith in you, and you've got to deliver. Yeah.
I actually have one more question before I let you guys go today, and it's kind of a weird one, but there's been a huge growth here in the U.S. on simulator-based golf and playing indoors versus playing outside. But with that, using like TrackMan software or Foresight software, you have a ton of golf club options. And a lot of them are actually real and out there and can be played. Have you ever gotten messages or calls saying, hey, I played this random course in Ireland and I really... Is it real? And if it is, can I go play it? Can you guys schedule a trip for me? Like, do you ever get that?
I've had that before for Old Head, which I might be misspeaking, but I think it's Kearney's favorite course in Ireland.
It is.
Maybe his favorite course ever.
It is.
And that I've had that a couple of times. They're like, man, I've played this course on Old Head, and just guys that just do silly things. Like, they're just happy going on the simulator and hitting balls into the ocean because it's on a 200-foot cliff. So yeah, I've had that a few times. Not often, but yeah, old head's one that's come up.
I would say the same. I've had a person call in to our main line one time and just say, hey, I'm at the simulator right now. I'm playing Casa de Campos, Teeth the Dog. I want to play this for real. Like, let's go. And I'm like, awesome, let's do it. I would say, you know, I've played some great courses, Old Head, Teeth the Dog. You know, these are famous golf courses. And you play on the simulator, and this is maybe obvious, but it is nowhere near the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, the views that you get to see at Old Head, I mean, there's, I don't know, a half mile cliff on almost every single shot. They typically don't recommend golf carts out there because it's possible you just drive off the cliff. So like, those types of experiences are so much different on a screen than they are obviously in real life. So obviously I would encourage real trips, but yeah, obviously those simulators do a great job of, you know, those are actual courses with actual landscapes and whatnot. But those, when you actually, it's like when the text message leaves the group chat, it's like, this is a for real trip that you're about to go on. These are real golf courses that you're going to go play and experience. Sometimes it may be a little bit rainy. Sometimes it may be windy, but that's all part of the experience. So yeah. I definitely think that's part of it.
It's one of those random things. I mean, I go to the simulator during the colder months here, and we just pick a random golf course. Sometimes it's in the UK, and of course we pick very mild and low wind, of course, yeah. Because mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to get beat up in January in Ohio. Yeah. But it is funny how quickly we decide on a golf course. Oh, this place sucks, or this place is crazy, or you know, whatever it might be. It wouldn't surprise me if that grows more over the next 5 to 10 years, that seeing people get more invested in courses they've never looked at other than on a digital screen, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of options. We have like a company party each year where we go to like a simulator and play a bunch of courses, which a lot of them we sell, obviously. So yeah, no, I would agree with you. Like, the course knowledge, I think, across the board with clients has increased, I feel like, over the years. And that may be because a lot of people are posting out articles of certain courses. But, you know, there's some just random course, like people call in and say, hey, I want to go play Ballyliffin, like Chris mentioned. And it's like, well, how did you even hear about Ballyliffin? That is nowhere near anything. But it's an amazing golf course. So, yeah, I definitely feel like course knowledge has increased and people are more aware of what's out there for sure. But
I'm definitely waiting for my next round this coming year to say, just pick a random course and this course is sponsored by Golf Breaks.
Yeah, exactly.
Join us for real.
Yeah.
That's great.
If you've not been out there, we're going to have to get you out to Scotland and Ireland. You're going to have to get your first experience soon.
I definitely have not. And it's very big on the bucket list. It needs to happen. I'll be reaching out.
Definitely.
I have one question finally before I let you go, and that's specifically between the two of you. Someone calls in, says, I don't have a timeline, I don't have an expectation. Where do you recommend if I take one trip it should be?
Got it.
I'm gonna answer domestically so that Chris can answer internationally. Domestically, I mean, I mentioned earlier, but St. George, Utah is just unlike anything else. You have Sand Hollow, golf resort, which the back nine, you are legit playing on Mars. It is just red rock, cliffs. It's unlike any other course in the world. Then you go, you know, 10 minutes down the road, go to Black Desert Resort. The course is in amazing shape. It's a PGA Tour course. It's bright green grass. And you have, it's surrounded by black lava. Rocks. Ooh. So yeah, it's like on one half of the town you have red rocks Mars, on the other half you have black rock that you're playing as it's not even out of bounds, like that's the rough is black rock. So yeah, I would just say that's like unlike any other place. You know, you have a lot of different desert golf courses with like Palm Springs and Scottsdale. You have, you know, Pinehurst has awesome courses, of course, but I would think that's like a golf trip that is unlike anywhere else in the world. So that's where I'd recommend domestically.
And it might sound a bit cliched, but I think you really can't look beyond St. Andrews. I mean, even if you're just a casual golfer, that name resonates with people. And I think even if you're not playing the old course, even if you're not got the lucky chance to play, even if you're just going there to experience the town, playing some of the other courses nearby or the other St. Andrews courses, they have a number of courses like the Jubilee and the new course, which are fantastic, right next door to the old course, same piece of land. The whole area, once you step out into the streets of St. Once you see the first tee of the old course or you're standing behind the 18th green just watching guys putt, like you can feel it. There's an energy. I can't describe it until you've been there and you've seen it. It's very difficult to kind of put into words, but just exploring the town and just being able to walk off the golf course and be in the town at the pub in St. Andrews, like the Dunvegan or the Kith, wherever you are, you can do it. It's just a unique place, really cool, and so much other good golf within a very short distance. I think if you can afford, if you have the means to go, because it's not cheap these days, St. Andrews is an expensive place to go, but if you can do it, highly recommend you try at least once in your life.
Sounds like a golfer's golfer requirement.
Oh yeah,
I think so.
Perfect. Hey guys, it's been really fun getting to know you a little bit today. We've had some discussion about Golf Breaks already on THP through the homepage, a great review on there. Seeing people engage and get more involved in travel golf is always really fun. And I'm looking forward to you guys continuing this story and expanding and getting more and more crazy. It's a lot of fun to follow along with. I appreciate you giving me the time today.
Anytime.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Cool. Hey guys, if you're playing golf this weekend, have fun. And I'll tell you what, it sounds like all of us need a golf trip. Maybe not to St. Andrews, maybe not the first time. As Kearney said, let's get your feet wet a little bit. Let's go somewhere local and then see if St. Andrews is on the cards. See you guys next week. Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
What's going on, everybody? Jackson Bragg here for another edition of THP. And we had a question in the forums about a player that's used steel fiber for the last 10 years and recently got fit into something different. Now he asks, do we have anything similar to what he used to play in steel fiber? The answer is yes, absolutely we do. But I want to preface the question. He almost felt like during transition, he lost the feel of the club head. Now what steel fiber does a fantastic job of is the reinforcement placement from the top of the swing down to the bottom, almost feeling like it's a one-piece reinforced feel, versus a shaft that may not have steel fiber, might feel a little loose in transition. I hope that helps. We'll see you next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.